الحمد لله الذي كفى الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده عباد الله الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters I welcome you to this short course or call it a workshop inshallah on you know looking at ways as how to develop khushu in our salah. First of all it's not surprising. I was thinking you know it might be surprising but to see you know the number of audience if you like is pretty much consistent with other programs, so we see that many numbers anyway in any of the courses. Also this is not surprising because this topic salah is something which is very sensitive to people, so this is a business that we are very good at, alhamdulillah. You know, it's especially you know thinking that we had been praying for you know all of our life, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, so don't touch this. This is our personal business. We know it very well, alhamdulillah. You know, we have been doing this salah. So usually you will see people, if you tell them something about their salah, brother, you know, brother or sister, this is something that you need to improve, or you know, this is something I see that probably that's the correct way to doing it. If you usually you will see very you know strong response of people saying that yes, that's good, alhamdulillah. You know, I know how to pray and salah. So this is a very sensitive topic in that way, inshallah. So I was also looking at the title that's just advertised outside, and I must admit that this is the first time I looked at it. And it says, Developing Khushu in Salah, Methods and Techniques. So it looked very scientific, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't give exactly that topic. But inshallah, you know, this is something... this is a reminder really. This is something that we all know inshallah. But we will try to do it properly just to as a refresher as to you know what khushu is and how to develop this khushu, some of the ways inshallah. Consider it as a refresher. And there's nothing really, no big science involved if you like. So just before starting inshallah, this is a disclaimer here. Most of you probably know me already. But if you don't, then, you know, I am a doctor as a PhD in computer science. I don't have a degree as such, a qualification, if you like, from a scholarly institute. So don't consider that I am a scholar. So I openly and neither I am pretending to be a scholar here, inshallah. And the second thing is that this course, it doesn't mean... When I talk about khushu in salah, don't you think at any moment that, you know, I am perfect in my salah, of course. What I am expecting from this course is that I will be the first beneficiary, really, inshallah, by communicating this. And this is the last point here as well, which I want to emphasize, that learn to be a teacher. This is very different than just... being a student. So learning to be a teacher is very different. Why? Because I have 10 slides here really. Yeah. And maybe I will finish them in 30 minutes or 40 minutes. But to prepare these slides, these 10 slides, I might have to work a few hours, 3 hours and 4 hours. And you will see if you haven't taken a role, you haven't been a teacher in all of your life, then try to be a teacher once. You know, play a role. Be a teacher. And you will see that the type of knowledge that you get by being a teacher is very different than just being on the receiving side. So when you deliver it, the grip that you get, and the only reason I'm saying so is the better knowledge you will have, hopefully inshallah, you will have a better practice as well. The other thing also is that, you know, we have 10,000 Muslims in Canberra. So here we have hardly 10-15 brothers and sisters sitting here. So we really need teachers. Because all those people that are out there, there has to be someone to go and communicate it to them. So this handful group here, just why not use this opportunity and learn it as a teacher so that, you know, we communicate it and we multiply this rewards and so on. So having said that I'm not a scholar and I'm the first beneficiary, I make this dua that, and before even making a dua, that whatever I will say from haqq, from the truth, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever I say otherwise, other than truth, is due to my own weakness of my own self, and that's obviously not intentional, but this is what I want to do. And now I want to make a dua, and dua is that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this course, make me as the first amongst this group, inshallah, to attain khushu in my salah. And also, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala penetrate into your hearts of the truth that I say, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it forget from your hearts of whatever I say otherwise, inshallah. Okay, so just this is very traditional because I am a teacher at the university, so I go by that rule, keeping the objectives in mind, inshallah, what we have in this course. So first of all, we'll try to understand the literal meaning of the khushu, what actually khushu is. You know, we always talk about khushu, but what literally it means, its importance, is it really needed in a prayer, or is it something desirable only? And then we will, inshallah, discuss a number of ways of how to bring khushu in our salah, inshallah. And this is a step, if you like, towards making the salah from a mere ritual to a spiritual, enjoyable and beneficial experience. Now, each of these are a key word. When I say, I've just pointed it, highlighted it here, that focus of this course is not on the fiqh issue. So if you have come here for the fiqh of salah, this is not about the fiqh of salah. So you know, you have, just like we have a body and we have a ruh, yeah? We have a soul. Similarly, every action, be it a salah, a saum, a hajj, or any other action, there is a call it a body, there is a physical thing that you do, especially in the ibadat, especially in the worship. You know, in salah we stand up, we go for ruku, we make sujood and so on. But there is a purpose also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't prescribe this salah for no reason. There is a reason behind it. What is the purpose of the salah? So that is the ruh, if you like. And every action, every amal in Islam has a ruh as well. So the point here is what I'm saying is that this is not about, so there is a ritualistic aspect, which is the things that you do in every salah, you know, you repeat the actions, and there is a spirituality attached to it. There's a ruh. So we will emphasize, inshallah, in this course on this part of it. Secondly, as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the coolness of my eyes is kept in the salah. This is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Really, we need to ask ourselves: is the coolness of our eyes, and what is coolness of our eyes? Yeah. Do you feel happy when you look at your children, if you have children? What is a thing that really makes you happy when you just look at it, or when you are doing it? Is there a comparison between that thing and the salah? When we pray salah, do we really feel happy? Do we really enjoy it? So, inshallah, this is one of the objective of it, is to hopefully, inshallah, by doing this course, we'll start enjoying our salah, inshallah. And it's a beneficial experience. Beneficial in a sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are doing salah for reward, for getting ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Number two, as I said, there is a purpose for each action. Are we achieving this purpose? If you are not doing, then as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there are many musalleen, there are many people who pray, who do not get anything except sleeplessness and fatigue. So they do pray, but they don't get anything other than sleeplessness and fatigue. So this is not beneficial. Yeah. So you're spending time, and we know time is money, especially in this world. Time is money. The time that you're spending here, you could have just maybe stand in a service station or something and earn $30 or $40 for this 1 hour. But you're spending this time here, or you know, write papers if you're doing a research or something like that. So this is time that you're spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make it beneficial really. And we'll talk about more this, about this inshallah. And as I said, this is a step. So, you know, they say as Imam Bukhari rahimullah alayhi, he once prayed and a wasp, you know, this bee, the honey bee, he stung him 17 times in the salah. 17 times. It didn't move. It didn't move. A sahabi, he prayed in a masjid and the wall fell. The wall of the masjid fell. You know, everyone is rushing towards masjid. What happened? This sahabi didn't know, subhanAllah. And we know this the famous story, you know, where it's usually narrated in relation to Ali radiallahu anhu, that he prayed once and then people took out the arrow from his foot while he was praying. So he couldn't touch it. So, you know, there was an arrow that was stuck in his leg or something, and he wouldn't let people touch it because of the pain. And then, you know, he said, let me pray first. And then while I am praying, you take it out. Subhanallah. So, obviously this is the ultimate objective, but let's face it, it's not an overnight job. Yeah? So, it's a step towards it, inshallah. If we do really hard work, if we understand what's required, and then we take step toward it, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come running towards it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised from us. So, you know, if you go one hand, He will come the length of an arm. If you walk towards Him, He will come running. So what else do we really need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is a question that all of the time people ask, you know, as the speakers or the scholars or the imam, they're saying, do more. So what is the limit really? What, you know, you always ask us to do more. What is the ultimate objective? And the ultimate objective really is ihsan. And this is from the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, we know, from one of the very last ahadith, a very lengthy hadith where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained what Islam is, what iman is, and what ihsan is. And ihsan, as he explained, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه, that you pray to, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like you are seeing Him. Now seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reaching that level where you actually are performing a worship, where you are so engrossed, you are so involved, that you are actually feeling that you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ultimate objective of all of this is really to increase our love towards our Creator. He loves us more than what we love. And we will talk about this more inshallah. And increase our humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overall. So khushu is a concept which is related to salah. But when you say khashi'un, scholars say that in general it means that you are you have the khushu outside salah as well. More in the salah, but outside salah as well. So the ultimate objective really is, this is the key, if you like, or the bottom line, is that we turn our attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some of the scholars say, this is the root of the problem today of the Muslim Ummah. Root of the problem. That we don't have our attention, we haven't purified our attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the key. So inshallah, by doing this, as we said, we'll increase inshallah. Okay, so just as an outline inshallah, today is all about introduction, and I will explain more what introduction. Then I have divided these ways. You will find lots of books on khushu and lectures as well. So put it this way, this is my contribution if you like, as to how to divide or how to classify the ways, just for easy memorization, easy understanding. What are the ways to bring khushu in our salah? And I've divided them in these three categories, which is things to do and do nots before salah, things to do and do nots during salah, and things to do and do nots after salah. And inshallah, we will keep this style, which is I will try to limit my lecture, my talking, within 30, 35, 40 minutes max, because we have pretty much 1 hour, isn't it? Before for this lecture, And the last part of this lecture, I would like to keep it open. So really share your experience. So I would just like, you know, make it a learning experience both ways, interactive. So think about, you know, what are your experiences when you pray? Have you ever thought about these things? And when you think, what thoughts come through your mind and things like that? So inshallah, let's learn from all, from each other in this way. And if you like, I haven't done what I wanted to do out of this lecture. These lectures was to give a poster in the end, which have these all these methods that we will discuss different ways on a nice small pocket size poster that we can keep in our pockets, and you know, every time just for initially to refresh our memories as to what we have learned, you know, keep looking at it. So this is a homework for you. So if anyone can take this exercise, this assignment, and prepare such a poster, that will be really good, inshallah, and we can share it with all the participants of the course towards the end. So inshallah, today we will look at, first of all, Salah and its importance in the Quran. So it's something that we already know, most of us, but let's go through it again. Then ritualism in Salah. What is ritualism? And it's some of its consequences that we see today in our Salah. And what are the desired characteristics of Salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave in the Quran? So from some verses of the Quran, take the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants in our Salah. Then explain what khushu is. As we said, you know, what we talk about khushu, but what actually it is. And what is its position in Sharia? Is it something that's needed? Or is it something only desirable? And finally, inshallah, the ways how do we classify to attain khushu in salah. And we'll, I'll stop here. The details we will cover, inshallah, in the next few weeks. So my aim is to finish this course, inshallah, not more than in 4 weeks. So let's maybe finish it in 3 lectures. But we'll see how it goes. So just a reminder, and I have some ahadith so that I can quote exactly on each of these points. So I should have actually so we know this that Islam is the second pillar of Islam, Salah is the second pillar of Islam, and as recorded by Tabarani, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Salah is a pillar of the deen, of the deen. He who establishes it, establishes the deen. And who destroys it, destroys the deen. Big thing. Just one action, Prophet ﷺ is saying, if you destroy it, you destroy the whole deen. That's how important it is. Consider it as a building, and you know, it has five pillars, if you like. If you take that pillar, that building cannot stand. That's exactly the importance. Now we know that how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Salah in Quran, roughly. This is a common knowledge. More than 70 times. More than 70 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. What does that mean? When we say number, 70 times Allah mentioned about something, what does that mean? That really means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to emphasize on something. The importance is so much. As scholars say that anything that's more than important, you know, everything in the Quran is important. But there are things that you know which are repeated in Quran. For example, this ayah, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. This ayah is repeated 4 times in Surah Al-Qamar. Yeah? Why? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating it? So there is an emphasis. So just as a reference, 2 ayats, one of them from Surah Al-Baqarah, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, guard strictly the 5 obligatory salawat, or the salawat, and prayer, especially the middle one. And as scholars say that, according to the common consensus, this is here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to asr salah. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, but if they repent and perform a salah and give zakah, then leave their way free. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about fighting with people until They do two things. One is iqama salah wa ita'i zakah. So if you see people doing these two things, and in another hadith that Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh quoted in his Arba'een, is that Prophet ﷺ said that I have been commanded to fight with people until they establish prayer and start giving the zakah. So that's the importance. So you really, Prophet ﷺ is saying that he's being commanded to fight with people to do that. Now also, this is the difference between kufr and Islam. We know this. Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, between a man and disbelief, kufr and paganism, shirk, is the abandonment of salah, tarka salah. So leaving the salah, abandoning the salah, is like kufr and shirk. That's equivalent to kufr and shirk. That's how serious this is. So obviously, you know, this is a reminder about the importance of the salah. The understanding here is that everyone, we, alhamdulillah, we're guarding our salah, we are praying five times. There's no question of, you know, praying or not praying. It's about, you know, bringing khushu, but, you know, this is something that I wanted to bring to attention, inshallah. Now, this is something which is very important. So who remembers this hadith of, this is the only ibadah which is given to us as a gift in the heavens. Yes? Whereas the fasting was prescribed on this earth, hajj, zakah, everything, only this ibadah is prescribed where? In the heavens. And this happened during the time of Miraj. And we know this hadith, the long hadith, where Prophet ﷺ went he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he prescribed how many salah initially? 50. That would have been too much, yeah? So he came back and Musa alayhi salam said, what? Your ummah won't be able to bear it, so go back. And so he returned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced it into half. So he came back, Musa alayhi salam said the same thing again. So he went back, it was reduced to half again. And he asked, it's still too much, you know, go back and ask. He's talking about from his experience. He has seen his ummah not fulfilling this thing. So as salah was prescribed on Bani Israel as well. So he went back again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then finally gave 5 salah. And then what did he say? This is 5 is equivalent to 50. Why? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something, you know, really amazing here, which is Allah is saying that because His word doesn't change. So Allah's word doesn't change. Initially He said 50. So He's giving you now 5. He didn't change. You will get 50. So you'll get the reward of 50 if you do this 5 salah. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. So that's the story. And so now, this was a gift that was given to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where? In the Miraj. What did he do in the Miraj? Met with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he tell us about the salah? As-salah mirajul mu'min. It is the miraj of the believer. Which means that it's you have a chance to really meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day. That's how big this gift is. So just as important. Further importance. One of the last advices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the deathbed. We know that he spent his last days in a lot of pain. And actually, if you read these chapters about the death of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pain that he went through, you literally, you know, you cry. That he was one of the best of the creations, most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he went through such a pain. And, you know, during his death sickness, one of the last words, and I'll just quote this ahadith, he said, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, the predominant matter that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept repeatedly stressing whilst on his deathbed was, guard your prayers and watch over what your right hands possess. That is your Subhanallah, the ghulam, what do you call it? The servants, no, but not really servants, slaves. Yeah, so your slaves, about your slaves. So he gave us the advice about two things. Guard your prayers and be careful about your slaves. You know, we don't have slaves now, but inshallah one day. So, and also Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah narrated that Ali radiallahu anhu said, the last words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they spoke were, the prayer, and fear Allah with regard to those whom your right hands possess. And this was classed as sahih by Al-Albani. So this is a sahih hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the last words are the prayer, you know. That's how important it is that he's saying to us. And subhanAllah, this is the first action to be accounted for on the day of resurrection. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first matter that the slave will be brought to account for on the day of judgment is the prayer. If it is sound, then the rest of his deeds will be sound. And if it is bad, then the rest of his deeds will be bad. So which means that if just this section, you know, sometimes we hear about these hadiths that a sahabi came and he said, tell me about one thing and you know I will go. And Prophet ﷺ would tell him exactly one thing and he would go and he would spend his life on just this. So if someone asks really, what is to make perfect? This is the salah. And why really, I thought about it, I pondered over it, that why, that if I only make my salah correct, why is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the truthful, the Prophet ﷺ, who is the truthful, is giving us a piece of news, that if you make this salah correct, rest of your amal are correct. How come? There can be many reasons, many explanations, but one of them is, you see, we seek this dua in every prayer, in every rak'ah. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. So if we are making it sincerely, and if Allah accepts it. That's what we need really. Surat al-Mustaqim, isn't it? So this is the first section to be accounted for on the day of resurrection. So some of these are, as I said, the reminders about the importance of Salah. Now, let's talk about the state of our Salah today. Overall, you know, I'm not saying, obviously there are people who pray very nicely in the end, but and this is about introduction. So we'll go to the ways inshallah, but this is also important. As I said in the beginning, learn to be a teacher. So when you're explaining it to others, you know, learn it like in a way that, you know, it's not just we are receiving it, but you know, if you need to deliver this lecture or workshop, understand it from that perspective. So what is ritualism? It's a word that's used in English, which really means putting undue emphasis on ritualistic aspects. Now, if I ask you this, is prayer a ritual or it's spiritual? Or any ibadah in Islam? It's both. It's exactly that. It's both. It is partly ritual and it has a purpose. It has spirituality attached to it. So there is ritualism in Islam. But what ritualism really means is to putting undue emphasis. You see, you cook a food. Yeah, you add salt to it. You add other things. What if I add, you know, 10 spoons of salt in you know, what I'm cooking? It's still an ingredient, but you're going to spoil the food. That's exactly true with any actions. So if you give disproportionately give preference to certain things, then you are going to destroy the action. So I'm not belittling the importance of ritual. Yes, there is importance. As Prophet ﷺ said that, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni salli. So pray as you have seen me praying. And obviously this is through ahadith. So there is importance. So we need to pray as Prophet ﷺ is praying. Because any action that we do from our own self will be rejected. Yes, we know this. So we need to have niyyah and we need to have sunnah. It has to be according to sunnah. So I'm not belittling. But what I'm saying is that all of our emphasis today is about, you know, really about these things. How to stand, how to, you know, where to put your hands, you know, do this or not. All the discussions, and these are the consequences of the ritualism, if you like. First of all, if you get involved too much into it, incomplete reward. So as I said in the beginning, what is it that we're doing the salah for? Really, this is order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we expect? Ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We expect reward. Yes? Now, if we are doing salah, which is just a ritual, we came rushing, we performed certain actions and we went away without thinking even once about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without paying a single attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we going to get the reward? Okay, this is not what I am saying. This is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to say. He said, There are many who perform the salah but obtain nothing but sleeplessness and fatigue. And this is narrated by Ahmad and Ibn Majah. In another hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a slave may pray and have nothing recorded for him except a tenth or a ninth or an eighth or a seventh or sixth or fifth or a quarter or a half. And this is related in Sahih al-Jami. So it's possible. It's basically what this is saying is that in another hadith that, as he explains, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, you will only have from your prayer that which you focused on. So you will have the proportion, and this is very fair, isn't it? So we get the reward for whatever we focused on. If you are thinking about something else, as one of the poets in Pakistan, you know, I don't know if you know, Iqbal is very famous. One of his poetry, he said that, you know, I fear that my sujood will make me kafir, a disbeliever. Why? Because I'm making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm thinking about something else. And when we were little, you know, one of our teacher told us about this story. I don't know. I mean, he used to make lots of stories, so it might not be true. But he said that once a person came to the masjid and the salah was just finished. So he stood outside and he started crying. He started crying, and you know, people came back and he said, you know, take it easy, it's okay, inshallah, you know, you repent and you next time you make it up. So he kept crying, and people say, what's happening? You know, why are you asking? So why are you crying so much? And he said, Allahu Alam, as I said, you know, we don't know, it might not be true. But he said that, you know, I am a businessman, and I used to do all my accounts during my prayer. So I just missed my accounts. Nauzubillah min zalik. So I'm just saying that this is really the state of our prayers. You know, we come with preoccupied with, you know, things in our heads. We pray and we go. And, you know, that's... So you incomplete rewards, this is one thing. And missing out on actual benefits, really. What is the purpose of salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar." So it prohibits, your salah should be prohibiting you from fuhush and all of these things. Yet, you know, we sit in front of TVs and we watch all sorts of things. We walk on streets and, you know, we can't control our eyes. I'm just talking very, you know, the people who are really so-called religious. And I'm not talking about the things that is happening otherwise. So what is it, what kind of salah is this which is not stopping me from deceiving people? Which is not stopping me from stealing text, stealing X, Y, Z, whatever. What kind of salah is this? You know, one of the things that people of Shu'ayb alayhi salam said to him was, you know, أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن يَتُرُكَ مَا sorry, so whatever in the Arabic. So he said, the people said to Shu'ayb alayhi salam, is your salah, is your prayer, it wants us to leave what we are worshipping? Are you asking that through our salah that we leave the things that we are doing? You know, what was the problem with the nation of Shu'ayb alayhi salam? They used to have this deception, yeah? Used to measure wrongly and things like that. So they're asking, through your salah, are you asking us to stop from these things? So what kind of salah is this that if we are not getting the, if we are not really actually getting the benefits? And if we don't do anything about this, this is really continuous decay. So ultimately you're going to get into this state where this become burdensome. We are praying, I'm talking here about the musalleen, the people who really pray. We're not talking about the people who do not pray. The question really is our prayer burdensome today? Is it a burden on us? If it is, this is due to this continuous decay. And if we don't do anything about these things, this is going to happen. This is bound to happen. And finally, inshallah, the one of the problem of the consequences that we commonly see in our society today, what is the discussion about? All of the discussion around salah is about these contentious issues. Take the small fiqh issues. Your salah is complete or not complete. It's all about, are you making rafa yadayn or not? Are you standing with four fingers in between or, you know, one foot in between? Again, as I said, I'm not belittling, you know, all of these things are important. But all of the emphasis is on these things. And we are continuously fighting. So much so that we don't pray behind each other. Is that true? Common consequence. Don't pray behind this. don't pray behind this brother because, you know, he has this and this. What is this brother? What was the salah about and what we have got ourselves into? And this is a consequence really of this issue, ritualism. We are too much into ritualism. We have forgot the purpose of the salah. So keep that in mind, you know. Now, let's look at after explaining, you know, the importance of the salah and, you know, what the consequences of ritualism is really if you start putting too much emphasis on it. Let's look at the desired characteristics of the salah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Indeed, the mu'mineen, the believers, have succeeded. They have already succeeded. قَدْ. So, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The ones who do in their salah, who are خَاشِعُونَ in their salah. What is خَاشِعُونَ? We will explain briefly, just in a minute, inshallah. Then, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. The word here is حَافِظُوا, guard your salah. In this is a continuation. So towards the end of these ayat in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah, it's like these brackets. So it's the bracket starts with الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, and in between Allah gives other characteristics of the mu'minun. At the end, Allah says again, closes all these characteristics with وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. Similarly, in Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. And similarly, it ends these ayats, after a few ayats, it ends with وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Now, if you look from these ayats, what are the three characteristics? Yeah, muhafaza, hifz, if you like, guarding your salah, khushu, being khashi'un, and the third one is da'imun. So now, this we'll talk about khushu, inshallah, lecture series or workshop, whatever it is about khushu. So we'll talk in detail about khushu. But let's look at these two other characteristics. Muhafaza, or guarding, and being da'imun, which is being continuous. What is guarding? A very easy example to understand this is, what do we use this word hifz in common language? Hifz is for? Hifz of? Quran. So we call hafiz. Now who is a hafiz? Who memorizes, who commits to Quran, is it only once? Does he do it once? So you need to, basically, if you really are good, a good hafiz is characterized by if you can finish Quran in 1 week. So you need to finish, so they are in continuous recitation basically. So if you really are good in your hifz, you need to finish the Quran once a week or at least twice a month or something like that. So Hufaz says, that's guarding. So you're really protecting something. Take another example. What is hifz? You know, once Prophet ﷺ was explaining to the companions, to Sahaba, about the Day of Judgment. Or I think probably it was about one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. And he talked about this long day, or the day where maybe the sun will rise from west. So what was the first question that Sahaba asked him? Amazing. You know, what did they ask? They said, what is going to happen to our salah? Subhanallah. Prophet ﷺ is talking about the Yawm al-Qiyamah, or you know, the sign of Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Sahaba are asking about, what about our salah? So, how are we going to pray our salah? This is guarding. This is really protecting your salah. Being very mindful. You know, and most of us, I am expecting that's how we plan. We're going out for shopping, what is going to happen to our Asr? Where are we going to pray our Maghrib? Where are we going to pray our Isha? You know, having this in mind all the time. Sleeping early. You know, I need to sleep early because I need to wake up for my fajr. This is hifz. This is muhafaza. So you're guarding your salah here. 5 times. No, I need to commit to it. I can't miss it. This is muhafaza, if you like. The second is daimun, which is being continuous, being consistent. You know, there's no gap in between. So, you know, if one of the stories go, I don't know again about the authentication, as, you know, one of the Sahaba, they missed out on the Salah, and or Sahaba, or, you know, a pious person. And they were crying so much so that the next day Shaitan came and, you know, they woke him up. Shaitan himself woke this person up. Because, you know, he repented so much that Allah liked it. So he didn't want him to miss this Salah again. So that's really the daimun, which is being consistent, being continuous in your ibadah. And we know that the actions that Allah love are those actions which are not done once. So even if you do actions, few actions, that's fine. Doing less action, less is fine, as long as you're doing it continuously. So Allah likes the actions which are performed continuously. So this is being daimun. So we have hafivun and muhafaza, and we have the dawam. And the third characteristic is then khushu. Okay? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So khushu, literally, khashi'un, the word khashi'un, it comes from the verb khasha'a. Kha, sheen, and ayn. Khasha'a. Which literally means it's a type of fear that overwhelms you to the point that your muscles get numb. So you're so fearful about something that you're feeling it on your muscles. You know, you're actually feeling it. That's khushu. Okay, so, you know, maybe you're here standing out of fear, or you really are experiencing some bodily, the physical things. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said that this is a term that combines the perfection of love for Allah in its greatest level and the perfection of humbleness in its greatest level. For love devoid of humbleness and humbleness devoid of love is not considered worship. Rather, worship is what combines between the perfection of both matters. So the two key things, according to Ibn Taymiyyah, is the love and the humbleness. So it's not a fear which is out of, you know, that you're thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'uz billah, is not merciful or something. He has given us everything. You know, having this humility out of just thinking about the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And then looking at our actions, the response that we give to, you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So it combines, so you know, this love has to be generated from inside. It needs to combine both of these things, humbleness and love. The third thing is that khushu is an action of the heart. And it has, as I said, the attributes of extreme humility, full submission, and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say full submission, it's not only, yes, when you're praying, when you're standing up, of course, you can't move, you can't talk, you can't eat or anything like that. Yes, but also submission of your thoughts. Where are your thoughts? Submission of your, you know, wishes, desires, and all kind of things. So that's a complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you think about this, you know, where are my thoughts going? Really, no, they need to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will bring action. And this is an action of heart. So this is something that you can't describe. It's not physical. It's an action of heart. And that's why it's important that, you know, your heart is correct to attain khushu. So if the heart is diseased, then it will have difficulty in achieving khushu. It also means performing actions with dignity, tranquility, and calmness. So this is just a definition to understand. The ilm, knowledge about something, improves. Okay? So having understanding of what khushu is will inshallah improve. Now, the other, and that's where I will stop inshallah, is the importance of khushu. Which is khushu obligatory or not? Is that something that you really need in your prayer? Or can you just have a prayer without khushu? And the answer is, according to the scholars, you know, it's obligatory. And the evidence is, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, as we just said, and stand before Allah with obedience. And Mujahid rahimullah alayhi said, that part of obedience is to bow, to be solemn and submissive, to lower one's gaze, and to humble oneself out of fear of Allah. May He be glorified. Also, Imam Taymiyyah rahimahullah alayhi said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ. And it's very burdensome, it's very big, except on the khashi'een, except the ones who are humble. And so, here, what they're saying is that this implies a condemnation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is condemning an action. Yeah, so it's a negative thing to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is it's not positive. So this negative condemnation it means both of these evidences lead that khushu is obligatory in your salah. So you need to have khushu. Without khushu, as we looked at some of the other ahadith, you know, you will not get the full benefit and so on and so forth in importance. So inshallah, this as we said, this was all the background about you know what. And just before going this, if you look at these three characteristics, really this gives you a three-dimensional view. So you have muhafaza, guarding, and I gave you the examples of what really guarding means, dawam, and you have khushu. So there are aspects which are related to the physical things. So guarding also includes, for example, you know, praying on time, also looking after your tahara when you're standing up. So you need to have a clean, calm place to pray. You need to be conscious about your own cleanliness and all that. The warm is being continuous. So, and this khushu, if you like, is more to do with the inward things. So this is an action of heart, as we said. So you have physical and internal. So this gives you a three-dimensional view, if you like, these three characteristics of the salah, inshallah. So, as I said, I mean, there are books, lots of books and lectures out there which talk about how to develop khushu in the salah. And according to Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, the two things help us to develop khushu: a strong desire to do what is obligatory and weakness of distraction. So first of all, we should be willing and very eager to do the fara'id, yeah, do it properly, the things that are clearly prescribed, that we know, standing up properly, doing the qiyam, doing the ruku, and so on. So we need to have this eagerness to do that, but also removing the distractions, and we'll talk about some of the distractions, what can be distractions. Yeah, for example, when you come to the salah preoccupied, that's a distraction, you know, coming to the salah preoccupied, and you know, you pray, and all of the time you were thinking about the issue that you were involved in before coming. So this is just one, but other distractions as well. So you're praying in a place where there's lots of noise, you know, children playing around, and so on. So there, obviously, you will have difficulty in focusing, in attaining khushu and so on. So these two things. Now, if you look broadly, we can, you know, if you like, we can divide these ways into physical actions, the things that we can do physically. So we'll talk about them, inshallah. And there are things that you can do in thinking, the mental processes, if you like. So that's one way of dividing it. Also, as I said, for ease of understanding, what I have done is that I've divided in these two things, the physical actions and the mental actions. So physical action would be, an example would be, for example, making your ruku properly. Yeah? You know, straightening up your back, saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim properly three times. So you know, you say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Don't say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So this is a physical thing that you can do. But there are things that you can do, these are actions of heart or related to thinking. For example, pondering over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pondering over the gift, the greatness of this gift, as we said, you know, this was the only ibadah given to us in the heavens, prescribed to us on the heavens. So thinking about its greatness, our dependence on salah and things like that. So you have these two actions, and there are things that you can do before salah, you can do things during salah, and there are things you can do after salah, inshallah. So this course or workshop, whatever you call it, lecture series, will be about this. Today was all this introduction as to what khushu is, why is it important, necessary, and so on. Inshallah, in the following two or three lectures, we will cover some of these things, these ways, inshallah. And as I said, you know, most of us are familiar. It's just mainly a refresher, a reminder to us. So with this, I close this talk. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu.